Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
The internet is full of good information, and the internet is full of bad information. When it comes to the little tips and tricks and lists that promise to make your life easier, it's often the stuff that sounds too good to be true that we are most eager to try. And then it turns out that a lot of those tips don't actually work. This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd. It's not that you did them wrong. It's that they never worked. Science and technology writer David Pogue wants to spare you the hassle of testing cool ideas. His latest book, and he's written 80 of them, is called Pogue's Basics, Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You for Simplifying Your Day. David, welcome back to Think.
Thank you so much.
How did you become such a skeptic of internet life hacks?
Well, I'm basically fundamentally unhappy with red tape and procedure and process and things that are inefficiently designed. So I think that's the character flaw that led to this series of Pogue's Basics books. That I'm a shortcut addict. So last year I did this book just called Pogue's Basics, now renamed Pogue's Basics Tech. That was all technology shortcuts. And so this was the sequel, broadening the spectrum somewhat. And I thought it would be pretty easy. I thought all I'd have to do is collect the best of what are called life hacks kicking around the internet. But as you say, once I dug in, I mean, it's clear why they're so popular, right? They sound like a silver bullet. One of them says, to re-crisp a slice of leftover pizza, put it in the microwave with a glass of water. Oh, cool. I didn't know you could do that. Well, the reason is it doesn't work. It's just going to make it mushier if you put more moisture in there. So anyway, so it began this year-long quest to find ones that actually do work.
Is your, I mean, I would imagine with some of these, your house, your life becomes the lab for this. How do you keep notes about what works and what doesn't and how well?
Well, I have to admit that I had an arsenal, an army of helpers with this. My wife, my assistant, my mom, and Twitter. I mean, it turns out that ask anyone on the street, and they probably have one little tip they've picked up along the way. So I asked my followers on Twitter, and they came up with a lot of really cool ones.
All right. Well, the holidays are here. Lots of people will be traveling, renting cars. I pretty much never think to check which side the gas tank is on, and then I feel like an idiot when I pull up to the pump in a rented car and realize I've guessed wrong.
Yeah, you and everybody else. This is one of my favorite category of tips, things that designers put in for our benefit, but the word never got out. Right. We just don't realize it. And this is a classic case. On the gas gauge of every single car, that little E to F dial, is a tiny picture of a gas pump with an arrow pointing either to the left or to the right. That arrow is telling you which side of the car your gas tank is on, so you'll know which way to pull into the pump. I mean, you probably know where your own car's gas pump lid, gas tank lid is, but if it's a rental or you're driving someone else's car, that indicator has been sitting under your nose the whole time.
Another thing that's been around is those little notches in the side of like an aluminum foil or plastic wrap box.
That's right. And who uses them? Like under 1%. These are fold-in tabs that you press with your index finger. They pop in from the ends of the foil or plastic wrap box and sort of form an axle. So they hold the roll in place as you pull out the material, so it doesn't pop out of the box. And it's there for our use. We've just never known it was there.
When car alarms first came out, somebody told me to hold my alarm button on my key ring to my face, and I thought that he was just messing with me. As it turns out, it actually works.
I almost didn't even bother trying that one. It's so improbable, but it does work. You can amplify your car's remote control fob by 60, 70, 80 feet. By holding it, actually, the internet tells you to hold it under your chin, which doesn't really make sense because if you hold it against your cheek or some other fleshy part of your body, the liquid of your body acts as an amplifier for its antenna. I kid you not. So you can reach your car another 6 or 7 car lengths away. So it's really handy when you're wandering dazed in a parking lot and you can't find your car and you want to make it beep or you want to make it unlock. Just hold the thing against your cheek when you press the unlock button. It's hilarious because on the Amazon reviews for this book, there are people who came in saying how much they didn't believe that trick. There's two people who actually went outside with their wives and held the fob up to their cheek, looked like an idiot, but it did in fact work.
All right, we haven't had a major ice storm here yet this year, but we get them every year. And there's this vexing problem of driving around with fogged up windshields. And I think not only does it present a problem driving, but, you know, whoever you're sitting with in the car is going to argue with you about the best way to defog. So tell us how to do this with science.
Yes, they are. Yes, there's some cool science to this. And what everybody does wrong is they think that heat will evaporate the fog on the inside of your windshield. It's just the opposite. It's cold that will make it go away. So the solution is to turn on the air conditioner, which makes no sense. But the science of it is that outside the car, the air is cold and dry. Inside the car, your breath is warm and moist, and it's condensing on the windshield, turning back into a mist. So first bring in fresh air. You can open the windows or you can turn on that little recirculate control. So cold, dry air is coming in and equalizing the temperature, and then turn on either defrost or the air conditioner. And incredibly, that will make the windshield stop condensing the water vapor.
And what do you do when there is ice or snow falling or sleet falling onto a windshield and you know, ideally you're home with your feet up, but if you have to be driving in this?
So that's a different problem and a different control. Your car has a defrost button. That's the one that says front and looks like little rays going onto a windshield. So what that does is it blows warm air onto your windshield. Of course, it's on the inside of the car, so it takes a while to heat up the glass enough. So you can use your wipers. You can pour warm water onto the outside of the windshield. You can use an ice scraper. or if you think it's going to snow or ice tonight, what you do is throw a towel across the outside of the windshield the night before, and that insulates the glass.
When is the best time to buy a car?
Ah, this is the what? When is the right time to buy stuff is a big discussion on the internet. Basically, the car dealerships need to meet certain requirements themselves. They have a monthly quota. They have a weekly quota. So the idea is drop by the car dealership on a Saturday or Sunday night, like an hour before closing. A lot of times the salesperson would love to make one more deal before the week's out, especially if it's been a bad week. And last day of the month, same thing. And the other tip is go on bad weather, because bad weather like snow or rain really kills car dealership sales, and they might be really eager to talk to you.
Is there really that much variability in the price that we pay for a new car at a lot?
It depends. It depends on the popularity of the car. So if it's a hot new car, you know, a new Prius or a Tesla or something, no, there's not going to be a lot of budge room. But other kinds of cars, there's tons of room for wiggle room. And the internet is your friend here. You can find out exactly what the dealership paid for the car that he's selling you, so you'll know what his markup is.
When you are picking up a guest at the airport, you have them meet you at the departure area rather than the arrival area. Why?
Oh, man, this is going to change lives right here.
Or it's going to swamp departure areas everywhere.
That's right. I like to say that if you come away from Pogue's Basics Life with only one life-changing tip, then it was a really bad book. but this is one of them. So where people are waiting to pick people up at arrivals, they have guards who come and chase you away. They don't like people sitting there in their cars at the curb. So it's a nightmare, it's stressful, and they will chase you away. But if you tell the person arriving, meet me at departures, think of what cars do at departures. They pull up to the curb, discharge passengers, and drive away. So there's nobody waiting, and there's no guards chasing you away. So meet people at departures, and you'll have the luxury of being able to sit there until the person comes out the door.
What is a verified driver's license, and how do I get one?
This is kind of interesting. Everyone will know about this very shortly. Other countries have a national ID card. We don't. America does not have a federally issued ID card. We have driver's licenses, but those are separate for every state with different requirements. So the government has decided it's time. And now when you go to get your first driver's license or to renew your driver's license, you will have the option and soon the requirement to have it be verified. You will be asked to bring in a passport or a birth certificate to prove on a national level who you are, and it puts a star on your driver's license that shows that you are, even though it's a state license, you are verified. And within a few years, you will not be able to fly without a driver's license with a star on it, unless you have, you know, a passport or something like that. So it's best to think ahead, and the next chance you get your driver's license verified so you don't have to worry about it in the future.
What is this miraculous thing, TSA pre-check status?
This is no longer such a secret, but everybody's seen at the line, at the airport line for security, this line that says TSA pre-check. And the basic idea is it takes you back to 2001. You don't have to take off your shoes, don't have to take off your jacket, don't have to take off your belt, don't have to pull your laptop out or your toiletries out. You don't have to put your arms up inside some kind of scanner like you're being mugged. It basically means that the government has already checked you out. They know you're not a criminal. And so from now on, when you buy a plane ticket, it will say pre-check. And that means you're allowed to use the special lane. It's $85 to get into the program. But if you fly a lot, it saves you so much time and hassle.
And does the $85 last forever, or is it like an annual thing?
I think it's a one-time thing. I'm pretty sure. Maybe it's 3 years. I'll have to check it out.
I'm a big fan of foam headphones because I have to read a lot for work, and I end up, you know, bringing books to the strangest, noisiest places possible. Years ago, I wanted some of those fancy noise-canceling headphones, and I bought them, and I was so gratified to read this in your book because they didn't work any better than the, like, 18-cent orange plastic construction workers' earplugs that I've been using.
No, they do not. They do not work any better. I mean, the noise-canceling headphones are wonderful if you're listening to something, you know, mm-hmm. if you're watching a movie or listening to music. But if all you're going to do on your flight is sleep or read, those foam earplugs from the drugstore work really well, and they're much more compact, and you won't kick yourself if you leave them somewhere.
My favorite tip in the book was the one about reviving an inkjet cartridge that you know is not possibly empty yet, right? You put it in, and 2 weeks later, it's like, sorry, it's empty. And they're very expensive, and you've confirmed my suspicions that there is still ink in there.
There is indeed. It's just dried out and clogged the jets. So if you're in the middle of some important printout and you get the message that you're out of ink, you're not. So what you do is you take the cartridge out of the printer and run a blow dryer on it for a couple of minutes. And that warms up the clogged ink and lets it flow once again. You can get, you know, another 5% of ink printouts out of that. It's funny because in this book there's a great tip about razor cartridges mm-hmm. that are so expensive and they dull so quickly. This is one of my favorite of all times. It turns out most people think that razor blades dull so quickly because of the friction. They're rubbing it unsharp, basically.
Right.
But that isn't what's happening. The reason razor blades get dull is from, believe it or not, rust. It's oxidation on a microscopic level. If you were to look at the razor blade under a microscope, you'd see that it's actually chipping away at the leading edge from rust interaction with water and air. So if you just dry the cartridge after each use, either blow dry it or dip it in some rubbing alcohol. I have a little baby food jar of rubbing alcohol next to my sink, and I just rub it, and then the alcohol evaporates immediately. You will get months out of this cartridge. So a lot of times, everyday consumer items are designed to wear out quickly, so you buy more, but you don't have to fall for it.
David Pogue is my guest. We're talking about his book, Pogue's Basics, Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You for Simplifying Your Day. And by the way, Stephen Becker, our intrepid producer, has just discovered that the TSA PreCheck certification is good for 5 years. So now we know. We will come back to the conversation in a couple of minutes. If you've got a question for David or maybe you want to share a life hack of your own, we'd love to hear about it. 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. Spring registration is now open with courses in art, architecture, literature, and languages, as well as professional certificates and test preparation. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd. We're speaking this hour with author David Pogue. He's a columnist for Scientific American and host of Nova shows on PBS. His new book is called Pogue's Basics, Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You for Simplifying Your Day. You can join the conversation at 1-800-933-5372, or you can email think at kera.org. You can also find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think. Lots of people have surely noticed, David, that they cannot read their tablet or their smartphone with polarized sunglasses on. A change in perspective, it turns out, makes all the difference.
That's right. When your iPad is upright in portrait orientation, looking through polarized sunglasses, it will appear to be completely black. You'll think something's wrong with it. All you have to do is turn it 90 degrees so that it's wider than it is tall, and the picture comes back.
What's going on there?
It's the polarizing effect of the sunglasses. They somehow interact with the way the screen works on the iPad.
Here in Texas, we like spicy food, but it is possible to overdo it. So what actually works to reduce the pain from too much chili? Because there are a million home remedies that seem to not work very well at all.
That's right. I mean, the important thing to know about spicy food is that it's an oil that came from the hot peppers. It's called capsaicin, although that won't be on the test. The thing to remember is oil and water don't mix. So if you try to grab a glass of water or juice or beer to put out the fire in your mouth, you're just going to spread that burning oil around in your mouth. So this is one of those counterintuitive things. So what you want to do is either soak up the oil or put something in your mouth that will bond with it. And the key is fat. So butter or olive oil or dairy products, whole milk, yogurt, those things bind with that oil and wash it away when you swallow. If there's nothing like that, if there's nothing oily or fatty, starches like bread or white rice can help to soak up that oil. But do not drink water.
What's the best way to peel a hard-boiled egg?
there's a whole world of tips about eggs and how to know if they're bad and so on. So best way to get the hard-boiled egg is you crack it around the middle, the equator, you can roll it around on the desk and then peel from there. Then you like make a strip around the middle and then pop the top and bottom halves off.
I can't wait to try this because I'm typically one who goes for the air pocket and tries to work out from there.
Yeah, this way is a little bit cleaner and fresher. And by the way, do you know the trick about knowing if the egg is hard-boiled? You spin it on the counter. So if it spins, it's been hard-boiled. If it won't spin, it's raw. It's uncooked. And it works that way because if it hasn't been cooked, it's still liquid in there, so it resists the spinning.
So it's kind of sloshing around and changing the trajectory.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Speaking of clean and fresh, you have an alt use for deodorant in the book that I've never heard before.
Oh, yeah. Itches, bee stings, bug bites. Deodorant will make it stop, and you have it handy, which is the best part about it.
And that's the salt in the deodorant or the aluminum?
Let me see if I can remember.
If it doesn't come to mind, that's fine. I'm just
How about
curious.
This? It's one of the chemicals in there, for sure.
Chemicals in deodorant. All right. 1-800-933-5372 is our number. We have Benjamin on the line from Denton. Hi, Benjamin.
How you doing, Chris?
Great. Thank you.
It's funny. You had just asked him a question, and he was talking about bee stings and such. Well, there was a trick that we learned in the military years and years ago for avoiding mosquito bites. And we learned it from our fellow soldiers, our female fellow soldiers. They were running around wearing something from Avon called Skin So Soft, and they never got bit by mosquitoes.
Huh.
So all the guys realized this, and incidentally, this was at Fort Bragg, and there were a couple supply stores like, you know, Army, Navy supply stores, and all of a sudden they started putting up signs in the window, hey, we sell Skin So Soft. And then later on, OFF started making this stuff called Skintastic.
Wow.
And it was an army thing. And there was that one. And then there was another thing we realized because, you know, we're soldiers, so you're always on your feet. You were forced to do road marches, and you had a time limit. You had to do that like 12 miles in 3 hours or something crazy like that. Well, you know you're going to get blisters. You're going to get blisters. You're going to have pieces of skin rubbing that don't normally rub together. And we learned another trick. You wear pantyhose. Now, it may sound a little divergent, but you wear pantyhose, and, you know, that little layer of pantyhose keeps your skin from rubbing against the sole of the shoe. No blisters.
Awesome. Well, thank those you so much.
Those are both fantastic. I know the Skin So Soft one works. I'm not sure if I'm going to try the pantyhose, but but those are great tips. How'd you like to collaborate on the next edition with me?
That would work. That would work. You came up with so many crazy tricks in the military just to get by or just to make something happen when you didn't have the right materials. It was called Southern Engineering, but hey, it worked.
Well, Benjamin, thank you so much for your call. That was great.
Those are really good ones. And by the way, having looked it up, Chris, it is the zinc in the antiperspirant that kills the itch.
So now we know. So I used to like those commercials for like OxyClean because I really love cleaning products and I'm excited by anything that promises to get things really clean. Do they actually work and can I get it cheaper?
You can make your own, actually. There are instructions online. It's basically baking soda, water and hydrogen peroxide. But I'm amazed that most people, I'm referring to me, don't know about the miracle that is these oxygenated cleaners. They, you know, grass, ketchup, blood, pet stains, juice, coffee, all of it comes out with this oxygen bleach stuff. And it's non-toxic and it's safe for the environment. It's just, it's this miracle cleanser. And you'd think everyone in the world would know about it.
So it's one part peroxide, one part baking soda.
Baking soda,
and
yeah,
then two parts water.
That's right.
Can I make it and keep it in the cabinet, or does it have to be made fresh each time?
You can. Keep it in a jug.
Awesome. All right. 1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Chris in Dallas. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Welcome.
I just wanted to say, first off, I've been listening to this radio station for about a week now, and I'm hooked. I'm addicted.
That's great.
you must be very tired.
I'm sorry.
You must be very tired.
Yes,
listening
I'm
nonstop
very excited. I just want to add on to the whole car, the remote to the cheek thing on the car. There's something you should know about frequency of cell phones as well. If you're in the bathroom and you somehow lose frequency on your phone, you can actually sit and take the power from whatever metal object you have, and you can place your phone on there for about 5 bars or a couple of percentages worth of energy or frequency, and it will actually kind of jump. Like you said, it kind of like our body consists of some kind of magnetism to where it jumps the frequency, and it spikes it to where we can actually get a text message out, or if we want to get on a certain type of website or anything like that.
All right, wait, I want to make sure I understand this. You said take the power, like if you have a hairdryer going, you hold your phone up to the hairdryer?
No. Okay, let's say you're in the bathroom stall, okay? You know, you have anything that's made of metal, consisting of like if you're in a handicapped bathroom stall and they have the railing on the side of the bathroom.
Okay.
Something that's connected to the wall, something that actually connects to, you know, the outer source of that room that you're in, because the energy that you're pulling from your body usually are I don't know what it is exactly that does it, but it pretty much takes the frequency when you put it on top of a anything metal, and it will boost the frequency of your phone. And it's worked several times. Everybody just drops their jaw when I do that. Yeah.
That is super cool. So the metal is essentially like giving yourself a much bigger antenna.
Exactly. I was just adding on to the whole antenna phase that you were talking about.
Yeah. And that's cool.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait to try that now.
Yeah, me too.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Okay, this one surprised me, David. You have a way of sharpening dull scissors that sounds like a way to make sharp scissors dull, but in fact it works.
That's right. This is a one-liner. Cut through a piece of sandpaper. That's it. It is what a sanding wheel is, what a sharpening wheel is. It's sand, grit, that sharpens the scissor blades.
All right. There you go. 1-800-933-5372. Jed is on the line in Dallas. Hey, Jed.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to add kind of a tip on top of the tip about TSA PreCheck. I'm part of a program called Global Entry, and for another $15, you can add international arrivals to your kind of TSA pre-check, but you get, so basically you land from an international destination. You don't have to fill out any paperwork. You go right to a little kiosk in the airport, scan your passport, and it prints your receipt, and you just go on without standing in any of the lines.
The greatest tip for if you fly internationally. You get to that huge arrivals room with people waiting in line for 45 minutes. You just breeze past them, walk up to a kiosk, feed it your passport, and walk out. It is awesome. Great tip.
You spend a lot of days a year traveling, right, David?
I do. It's a problem.
Do you have tips for the kinds? How often do you have an option for like where you stay and you know decisions about hotels and that sort of thing?
Often, and I do have a killer tip regarding that. It turns out that if you need a hotel room in the next few days, that is short notice, you will get a huge discount if you use your smartphone to book the hotel room instead of your computer, like your laptop. I mean, you can do this right now. Compare, Fort Worth Friday night and try it on an app on your phone like Hotels Tonight or Hipmunk or something, and then try it on your laptop using the exact same website. And the price will be $50 or $60 cheaper on your phone.
Why?
And the reason is they're trying to target – obviously, hotels want to get rid of all the unsold rooms, right? Mm-hmm. They want to book – get some money out of their unsold rooms. So they are trying to appeal to people who are spontaneous enough. They're on the road. These are business people or millennials or whoever is spontaneous enough to suddenly need a room. And those are the people who are out and about with their smartphones.
That is a great tip. And so it's the exact same apps that we would or sites that we would normally use. It's just that we go through a mobile device.
That's right. So my favorite is called Hipmunk, like chipmunk without the C.com. They're great for booking hotels and flights. So if you do the same search on hipmunk.com on your laptop, the prices will be higher for the hotel than if you use the Hipmunk app or even the Hipmunk website on your phone.
When I get a new set of earbuds, it always seems like that nice plastic case is too nice to throw away, and it turns out there is a good use for it.
That's right. When you get an iPhone, the earbuds come in a little square plastic case that holds them neatly nestled in place. What you can do is put that under your pillow and connect the wire to your iPhone on the bedside table and play yourself to sleep or listen to an audiobook. And the beauty of the little case is it holds them in the perfect configuration so they don't tangle or flop upside down or anything like that. They're just held neatly under the pillow.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go to Tom in Fort Worth. Hi, Tom.
Hello. I've had a quick thing about the spicy foods and getting rid of the spice.
Good.
I discovered carrying a container of peppermint Tic Tacs did the trick.
Peppermint Tic Tacs, really?
I don't know if all peppermint breath mints work, but it was something that a family member showed me a while back, and every time we go out to eat spicy foods, it's take a Tic Tac. It goes right away.
Awesome. Well, certainly worth a try.
That is cool. And as a bonus, you'll have something to help keep yourself awake when you're driving sleepy. It turns out things like Altoids and peppermint Tic Tacs are just the sort of stimulant that keep you bothered enough to keep you from drifting off. Music you don't like, cold air, and these super strong mints all are useful to keep yourself awake behind the wheel.
Those are great tips because sometimes we know we're getting sleepy. We don't have too far to drive, but having another cup of coffee means that you're going to be up for hours after that. Those are great tips.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just stimulate yourself.
What do you do about the vexing problem of mustard water?
Mustard water?
Yeah.
I don't even know what mustard water is.
When you, for some reason, I thought I read this in your book, but maybe I read it somewhere else. When, when you have like a jar, like a bottle of mustard, and you have to squeeze it out, and squeeze, you get water, and you suddenly whatever it is that you wanted to season with mustard is just full of this like mustard water condensation.
I think I've learned something new today. Mustard water. I don't have a tip for mustard water other than perhaps you could store the bottle upside down so that at least the water is on the bottom instead of the top. But I do have the world's best tip for extracting mustard or ketchup or children's toothpaste from the bottle, especially when there's only a little bit left. Don't be one of these people banging the glass ketchup bottle to get the ketchup out. It's not scientific and it's not very effective. Instead, what you do is you hold the bottle from the bottom, make sure the lid is on tightly, and swing the thing around one time like centrifugal force, like it's a bucket or something. And that makes the ketchup fly into the neck. It's incredible how well it works. I mean, the first time you try this, you'll be like, whoa, that's so easy. And so it works on plastic ketchup bottles, metal, mustard, all kinds of different bottles. You're using centrifugal force to make that goopy stuff fly into the opening.
Yeah, because that thing about hitting the 57 with the heel of your hand, it's kind of nonsense.
Yeah, kind of is.
All right, let's go back to the phone now. We have Jonathan calling from Dallas. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Chris. Hey, I just wanted to add on some clarification to the idea of putting the cell phone next to any sort of metal. Essentially, without getting into the science of it, a metal plate acts like a mirror for the antenna that's inside the phone or any other device, and it makes it look like the antenna is twice as long as it actually is. And longer antennas are generally better and increases the what's called the gain. So bottom line is that's what's going on. There's no like weird like energy exchange or anything like that. It's just that RF, that radio frequency, at that particular frequency is seeing a bigger antenna, and it's more efficient for the phone. So that's what's going on there.
So scientifically, you're saying it really should work.
Yeah, it really should, but there are some caveats to it. It needs to be like steel or ferromagnetic. So aluminum doesn't work very well. And a solid plate is going to work best. And particularly also keeping it, keeping that plate horizontal and flat, because that's the that's the orientation that it's expecting for the antenna to mirror off of.
All right, Jonathan, I have to take a break, but thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. If you would like to ask a question or share a tip, we are speaking this hour with David Pogue. He's got a new book out called Pogue's Basics, Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You for Simplifying Your Day. You can join us at 1-800-933-5372, email think@kera.org, or send me a tweet. My handle is @ChrisBoydThink.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. Spring registration is now open with courses in art, architecture, literature, and languages, as well as professional certificates and test preparation. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with David Pogue. His new book is Pogue's Basics, Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You for Simplifying Your Day. You can join us at 1-800-933-5372. David, I have this little, silicone cylinder that you can put some garlic cloves in and roll back and forth, and then it takes the skins off. But I'm constantly looking to divest myself of kitchen equipment that I don't actually need, and it looks like my little cylinder can go in the next garage sale.
Yes, it can. It probably works on the same principle as my tip, which is just to put the garlic in some hard enclosed container. Like I use two metal bowls, mouth to mouth. But you could use a pot with a lid or an old peanut butter jar. Basically, you just shake it hard, maybe 10 or 15 seconds. And when you're done, you'll find that the peels of the garlic have come off by themselves, all papery and loose. They've just self-peeled.
And no fingernail involvement whatsoever, which is kind of nice.
That's right.
What do we do to cut onions without just being overcome? Sometimes it seems like some onions are stronger than others, but it's always a hazard.
Yeah, that's right. So here again, it's a scientific principle at work. There's this sulfur-like chemical in the cells of an onion, and it's released as a gas when you cut the onion, and it interacts with your eyes. Your eyes are trying to flush out that acid, so that's why you get tears. So if you can minimize the cuts to the cells, like use a sharper knife or chill the onion first, that works well. And if you don't have that kind of prep ability, then anything that gets those gases away from your face, some people say turn on the stove's exhaust fan or cut under a stream of water, or I just used this one the other day, cut as closely as you can to a candle. The flame burns off that those sulfur gas molecules before they get to your face.
Wow. Okay. Okay, so we might have room to chill our onions because we can take the butter, you swear, out of the refrigerator.
This is the greatest. Yes, I swear. And the USDA website confirms this. You do not need to refrigerate butter. You don't need to. The reason that you would want to leave it out is so that it's always soft and spreadable. It can change your life. I mean, cold, hard butter is not spreadable. And, you know, you're like, well, wait, it's a dairy product. It'll spoil if it's left out. But no, it doesn't. There's a bunch of reasons why. It would spoil if bacteria could get into it. But bacteria can't multiply without moisture. And there's almost none in butter. It's solid fat. And furthermore, it started life as cream, which was pasteurized. So all the bacteria have been killed. And there's also a lot of salt in the butter, which makes it even harder for bacteria to grow. So it is totally safe to leave butter out for a few weeks. Leave it on the counter with a cover on it to block it from light and oxygen so it won't change taste. But totally legit.
A few weeks, really? And does it, I mean, it's unchanged from week one to week three?
Unchanged. And this is how they do it in Europe. Nobody refrigerates butter in Europe.
Well, it's
so there you go. There's a life-changing tip for you. Leave the butter out.
Something else I loved, I end up using my cell phone camera for a lot of things. I like to take a picture of where I've parked, that sort of thing. But you have a bunch of different things that we can do with these cameras that people are carrying them around but may just have not thought of. Can you talk about some of those?
Yeah, I think it's time to stop thinking of the cell phone camera as something to take pictures you want to retain, and more of just a memory jogger. So take a picture of your kids when you get to an amusement park. So if you're separated, you'll remember exactly what they were wearing. Take a picture of your luggage. Take a picture of your coat check tag when you have to check your jacket. So you'll have that. There are all kinds of things you should take pictures of just to remember. And as you say, take a picture of the parking sign over, you know, where you parked so that you'll remember what floor you parked on.
I like the idea, too, of taking a picture if you're, you know, at the state fair with little ones. God forbid you get separated, but a picture that day of what they're wearing can be really helpful.
That's right. And take pictures of the dents on a rental car so they can't blame you for making it. Take a picture of your open refrigerator before you go to the grocery so you're like, oh, wait, do I still have milk? Take a picture of the taxi cab's license. So if you leave something behind, you'll have a record of which cab it was. There's just so many ways that it's a handy memory supplement.
Awesome. Yeah, it works in our house. If we've sent someone else to the store and the person is like, what kind of shampoo do you want? It's always helpful to have a picture of the old bottle because, you know, if the
exactly.
person buying the shampoo hasn't bought it before, they'll know exactly what to get. 800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Brock in Dallas. Hi, Brock.
Hi.
Hi, go right ahead, please.
Well, another way to sharpen scissors is you can layer up about three or four layers of aluminum foil and cut that, and that actually sharpens your scissors.
Oh, I've never tried that. Thanks for that tip.
Yeah, I have heard that. I have not tried it.
I wonder, too, sometimes scissors get so, you know, depending on what you use them for, they have just gunk on them, you know, and maybe cleaning them is probably helpful, too. And maybe the aluminum foil and the sandpaper helps with that a little bit.
I think that is wise, probably.
All right, let's go to Bob in Hearst. Hey, Bob.
Hey. An in-law told me that to take the hair off a corn on the cob, just get a paper towel and kind of rough it up. And just rub it back and forth, and the hair comes right off.
I am so upset that that one is not in the book. That is a really useful one. Dang it.
This is interesting. For you as a journalist, and I'm guessing that you've learned from experience, when you need to edit something, you will take the whole document and put it in a different font than you wrote it in.
Oh, I posted this on Twitter, and it blew people's minds. That's true. You can read something you've written 10 times and it looks perfect.
Right.
And then the minute you publish it, people write in to say, oh, there was a typo, or oh, you repeated a word. So this is the trick. Before you turn something in that's important, a paper or a work project or something you're going to post online, change the font. Change the font. When you use a different typeface, it feels like someone else is writing. It feels different, and it's no longer so familiar that you miss your own typos. It is fantastically effective.
I was at a big box store recently waiting for somebody to buy something, and I was looking at laptops, and honestly, I realized that when the time comes for me to buy one, I'm going to have no idea what to shop for. Tell me what I need to pay attention to and what doesn't matter when I'm buying, like, you know, a cell phone or a camera or a computer.
Yeah, there's a bunch of things that the market would like you to believe are important. In cameras for years, it was megapixels. It was, you know, your camera needs more megapixels to make it better. That is completely demonstrably untrue. Megapixels just means how many little colored dots the photo is broken up into. So if it's a lousy picture, it's going to be a lousy picture broken up into more dots. So not that important. Phone screen resolution is another one. Apple and Samsung and all these other companies like to tout how many dots per inch their screens are. Guess what? We have long since exceeded the ability for your eye to even tell them apart. Huh. The dots are so small. So you do not care about that. On laptops, they tout the processor speed. Oh, it's 1.5 gigahertz. No, it's 1.7 gigahertz. I'm telling you, for anything short of video editing and Photoshop, you will not feel any difference.
Oh, this is
Save good. Yourself some money.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. We have Ron on the line in Springtown. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I just had to laugh when you talked about crisping up the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. You can't do it like that. But what you do is you put it in the microwave, and now all microwaves are different in wattage, but you slowly heat. You never want to heat any of your food products up fast, okay, unless it's popcorn. But you slowly heat it to the temperature you want. And while you're doing it, you've got a hot – I use cast iron. You have a hot skillet on the stove heating up with a little bit of olive oil in the very bottom of it. And as soon as that pizza's warm, you put it out, you drop it in that pan for about a minute, and the bottom is just so nice and crispy. And
smart.
Because I'm a person of habit. I go to a pizza place that doesn't use that fancy belt to run it through the ovens. I have what they call short cook it. So when I reheat my pizza, the crust isn't overburnt.
You are clearly a connoisseur, Ron, so I'm going to trust your tip.
So that's cool. So the microwave heats up this cheese and stuff, and then the griddle crisps up the crust.
Right. And you don't want to ever cook on high in a microwave because you're hitting it with too much heat, and it doesn't evenly heat quickly. You can end up burning in some spots, and in other spots that still remain cold. Plus, after 4 minutes, you overheat the magnetron, and you can damage it. So you slowly heat it in a low wattage, and it just evens the heat out in the food, and it's good to go.
All right, leftover pizza for everybody tonight.
Well, Chris, you either have really smart listeners or you have a really great call screener or both, because these tips are all so good.
We actually have both, which is very nice. Makes the show excellent. And thanks to Lindsay Connect today, who is getting all these awesome calls in. Let's take another one from Teresa in Farmers Branch. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
I have two things I wanted to mention. There is a product called Crud Cutter. You can buy it online at Amazon. You can also walk into your Home Depot store and purchase it. It's a spray. It will actually take paint off of clothing, blueberry stains that you normally, when you wash your clothes, you can't get it off. Spray it with that Crud Cutter. Let it sit there for a little bit and wash it. You'd be amazed at how many stains that stuff will get out. If you have a nice piece of clothing, maybe test a little inside spot first. The other item that I want to tell you is I buy really expensive facial lotion. It's in a tube. And I get so frustrated because I can't get the lotion out. So halfway down, when I'm thinking I'm finished with it, I cut it across. And that way you can, you know, every day use the lotion inside. And once you're finished with it after that applicant, you kind of curl the bottom part of the tube up into the large part of the tube. Of course, they'll make the tube look half as big, but you wouldn't believe how much more is in that tube that you're using that otherwise you would have thrown away.
Oh, those are great tips. Thank you so much, Teresa.
Let's just think about how many cumulative gallons of those expensive creams people wind up throwing away because it's stuck on the inside of the tube. That is very wise.
I always wish that I could be like normal people and throw it away. When there's just a little bit left, it's hard to get out. But I will, man, I will just like work a tube of toothpaste for weeks beyond the point when normal people would have thrown it away. So Teresa's a woman after my own heart. I think we have time for one quick call from Kendra in Fort Worth. Hi, Kendra. Kendra, are you with
us?
Hi.
I have a couple hacks that might be useful. One is avoiding getting your lipstick on your teeth. So to do that, you can stick your finger, one of your fingers, in your mouth like it's a popsicle or a lollipop and let the inside of your lips glide on your finger, and that way you get your lipstick on your finger instead of your teeth.
Okay. A good one.
I haven't had that problem.
No, you haven't heard of that one? And you said it might be helpful for you. another one is, I don't know how common it is, but or known, well known, it's if you have a run in your stockings, you can use clear nail polish to sort of stop it from running.
Oh, that's an oldie but a goodie from the days when pantyhose were like de rigueur everywhere. Have you did that come up in your research, David?
No. When my stockings get a run,
well, you need them for blisters. So just keep that in mind.
You know, it occurs to me I probably am missing a huge section of women-oriented tips just from simply because I'm a male and I've never put on lipstick.
Well, there you go. So for volume 4, whatever's coming next, you can think about tips for women.
There you go.
Is there anything that you really wanted to work that people suggested to you that you tried and turned out to be nonsense that like really disappointed you?
Oh, so many, so many. I love the one that you can make a candle burn much longer if you freeze it first. Doesn't work at all.
Hmm.
I mean, there's so many of these things that simply don't work. And a lot of them are really goofy, too. I remember reading, I didn't even bother testing this, but it's if you're on a camping trip and you find yourself caught without kindling to start a fire, you can use Doritos. And like, okay, but what camping trip are you on where you can find Doritos but not scraps of wood?
You're camping like outside a 7-Eleven or something.
That's right. Oh, and the tapping the soda can to stop it from foaming over, that doesn't work either.
Oh, this will be news to my father who's been doing this for the better part of 69 years. So it doesn't work. It doesn't have any impact.
It has no impact. You can do one with and one without. All you're doing is letting time go by, and that is how you stop the foaming.
All right, David Pogue writes a monthly column for Scientific American and hosts science shows for Nova on PBS. His latest book is Pogue's Basics, Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You for Simplifying Your Day. David, it is always a pleasure. Thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you so much, Chris. This is great.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is associate producer and Jeff Whittington is executive producer. You can find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd's Think. The show's email address is think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.